Let's pray. Father, as we approach a piece of scripture that you caused to be written, inspired by you and preserved by you, we pray we would not take more out of it than what you have put into it. We pray that we would understand the message you have for us so long after it was written, and we thank you for the wonder of that. And so feed us with the living bread this morning, that we would be more conformed to the image of Christ and better witnesses of the gospel in the world in which you have placed us. Help us to look at a world torn by sin and death and be filled with the hope of the glory of the gospel of God. Work in us through this text, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. On Wednesday evening at prayer meeting, I referred to a comment that Jesus made to Nicodemus in John 3. Pretty famous conversation. John 3:16 comes out of that conversation. And in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, Jesus tells him that if a man is to see the kingdom of God, he must be born again. Nicodemus doesn't get it. How can a man be born again? And after Jesus explains it more to him, Nicodemus says in John 3:9, "How can these things be?" And Jesus replies in verse 10, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" In other words, this should not be a surprise to you. I have told you that in order to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again, and you ought to know this. And the question is, how could Nicodemus be expected to know this? Jesus says, you're a teacher, you are a teacher in Israel. And his role was to teach the law based upon the word of God. He's a teacher of the word of God. So what Jesus is telling Nicodemus is, if you really know your scriptures, you'd know where to find the new birth in your Bible. And the new birth in Nicodemus' Bible, Nicodemus had the Old Testament. So Jesus is telling him, this shouldn't be a surprise to you because it's in the Old Testament. Where in the Old Testament should Nicodemus be able to find the new birth? Maybe more places than I can tell you, but most certainly Ezekiel 36 and 37. Jesus tells Nicodemus in verse 8 of John 3, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." You can't push the Holy Spirit around. It's like, he's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In Ezekiel 37, we read this. God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to, in the ESV says breath. I think the NIV says wind. Same word in Hebrew. Prophesy to the wind. Jesus says, being born again is like the wind. God says to Nicodemus, or to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you, the Ephesian church to whom it was written, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. God has taken Ezekiel to a valley full of bones. And he says to Nicodemus in verses 12 and 13 of Ezekiel, or says to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, prophesy to the bones and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves. Ephesians 2 says, we're dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. And in Ezekiel 37, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This is why Jesus could say to Nicodemus, you ought to know this. It's been said before. And I want to consider with you this morning the question that God put to Ezekiel as Ezekiel looked out over a valley full of dead men's bones. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Ezekiel, first of all, had a mission among the bones. How did Ezekiel get to be in such a place as a valley full of dead men's bones that are, Ezekiel is quick to point out, very dry, been dead a very long time? How did he get there? God took him there. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. God has been telling, the first, reading Ezekiel is not pleasant reading all the time. God, in chapter 14, he says, Ezekiel, don't pray for these people. He said, if Daniel and Noah prayed for these people at this point, I wouldn't hear them. I'd save them. But it is too far gone. Judgment is coming. It's the Babylonian captivity. It takes place in chapter 24. But when we get to chapter 36, God is giving a message of hope. He said, there is hope. And listen to what God says to Ezekiel about what he's going to do in chapter 36. In talking to Israel, God says in verse 24, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. There is hope yet for these people, despite all that I have told you so far, Ezekiel, about what's going to happen to these people and what is happening to these people because of their sin, there is hope. And I will give them a new heart and they shall live. I am going to do something great among my people, God tells Ezekiel. And then he picks them up in reality or in a vision. Ezekiel says, in the Spirit. So I don't know if that means he really went there by the work of the Holy Spirit or in the Spirit. He has this vision of this incredible thing of preaching to these bones. But God takes him there. It's a truth, no matter how it happened. And he says, can these bones live? Remember what I just told you. I'm going to take their hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh. And he picks up Ezekiel, plants him in this valley full of dead men's bones, and says to him, now, Ezekiel, do you think I can do it here? Do you think I can take these bones? I have just told you I'm going to make them live. I am going to give them hearts of flesh. I will cause them to obey my law. And then he picks him up and plants him in a valley full of dead men's bones and says, there, Ezekiel, do you think I can do it here? Don't miss the point. The great thing God is going to do for his chosen people is going to happen because God put Ezekiel in this valley, of dry bones. Can these bones live? Now, folks, God got Ezekiel into a valley of dry bones in order to serve God there, in order to do what God was going to tell him to do. And the question for us is this: where has God put you? Do you know that you are where you are in this church, in your job, in your place of learning, in your home, in wherever it is you find yourself, because God has placed you there? Listen to this. God hasn't put you where you are for nothing. And wherever you are is as desperate as the place where Ezekiel got put. 2 Corinthians 4:6. I don't know. Is it right to have favorite texts? You know, God inspired them all, but this might be mine. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. When did God say that? Genesis 1. Let there be light. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He has shone in our hearts. Now, listen to how he describes new life in Christ. The phrase is stunning. It's just incredible. Listen to this. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give, what has he given us? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have, but we have this treasure, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show. There's a reason we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have it in this jar of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Why did God save you? A lot of reasons. One of them is to show wherever you are, whatever valley of dry bones God has put you in, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to you. Always carrying in the body, Paul continues on, the death of Jesus, carrying about in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. We have been saved. We have been brought to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to show that the power belongs to God and to show that the life of Jesus, to show the life of Jesus manifesting out from our bodies. This is June. And the world celebrates a lifestyle about what they do with their bodies. And we have a call from God to go into that world showing Jesus manifested in our bodies. A striking thing, the contrast. Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. You talk to Christians, everybody likes to say how crooked and twisted the generation is. And it is. But why are we here? Among whom you shine as lights in the world. We live in a crooked and twisted generation. Why has God placed us in this valley of bones? To shine as lights in the world. Can these bones live? Can Oakville live? Can your neighborhood live? Can Canada live? Can those who trust themselves and trust their money and trust their brains and trust their choices, can they live? Listen, Paul says to the Corinthians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Can these bones live? They can live. These bones can live. And they will live because God puts us in the midst of them with a message. That's the point. Can these bones live? Ezekiel has a message of hope from chapter 36 for these bones in chapter 37. It is a hope, in the words of Hebrews 6, that anchors the soul. It is a hope, according to Romans 12, that brings lasting joy. It is a hope in 1 Peter 1 that lives. It is a hope in Colossians 1 that God has laid up in heaven for all his children. It is a hope in Romans 8 that saves us, and it is a hope in 1 Corinthians 13 that lasts forever. That's what we have. And that's why God has placed us in the valley of bones, whatever your valley of bones is. So Ezekiel has a mission, as do we, amongst the bones. And he has a mission to speak. Verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Preach to the bones. Speak to the bones what I'm going to tell you. And when we say what God says to say, we're prophesying by one definition, not a bad definition. To prophesy is just to speak the words of God. God says to Ezekiel, speak to the bones. What is the point? They're dead. Do it. Do it. These bones can live. And so we have a mission to speak. That's why we're here, to show that the power comes from God and not for us, so that people might see the life of Jesus in our bodies. We are followers of Jesus Christ, and he gives us opportunities to share. I just prayed it. I used to pray, Lord, give me opportunities to speak. And I stopped praying that very many years ago. And what I pray now is, Lord, open my eyes to see the opportunities that you give me to say something of eternal worth to people you put in my path. Where have you placed me? Is the question. So a mission to speak. Because, folks, as Paul says to the Romans in chapter 10, how shall they believe if they don't hear? How shall they hear if we don't tell them? The message needs to be spoken. Have a good word for the Lord wherever God has placed you. He picked Ezekiel up, put him in a valley of bones. Where has God placed you? Before you run hightailing it out of the bad place God has placed you, ask yourself, if maybe God got you there for a reason. So he's got a mission among the bones. He's got a mission to speak. And finally, I think it's finally, he's got a mission to pray. Verse 7, so I prophesied. So he starts, God told him to prophesy. He's going to prophesy. As I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I love this next phrase. The first three words of verse 8 could be a whole chapter. And I looked. I bet he did. The bones start coming together, and flesh starts coming on them. He's preaching. His jaw's on the ground. What in the world is going on here? These are dead. And that's the point. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and somebody or somebodies spoke gospel truth to you, and the bones came together, and sinew and flesh. But the last phrase of verse 8 says, but there was no breath in them. They look alive, but they're not alive yet. They needed to be preached to, but something more must happen. So God says to Ezekiel in verse 9, prophesy to the breath, to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that they may live. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't tell where it comes from. You can't tell where it's going. But when it comes, there will be life. So what are we going to do? We're going to give gospel truth to people, and then we're going to pray that God will use it. Yeah, a simple little formula. Preach and pray. Give and pray. Speak and pray. Lord, I spoke. Why will it not just fall to the ground as a seed on rocky soil? The only way it will not do that is if you take it and wing it home to the heart. Do this, O Lord, please. And you can insert the names of the people in your life that you want to hear this, and you want it to go into their heart and take root and stay and grow and become life in Christ. Give the message and pray, Jesus says in John 6. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So go ahead and speak. You can't win them. You can't convince them to repent. You can't make them live. But God can. And what is his chosen method? The spoken word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back to 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot believe the truth. Well, what's the point in preaching to them then? Why did you come? The God of this world had you blinded so that you could not see the truth. And then Paul says, but God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God who said, let there be light. That's creation. There's nothing. There's nothing. And God says, let there be something. And there is something. God can do that. And God says, I'm putting you in this valley of bones, and I want you to speak and live. And then I want you to pray. And then I will say to some, let there be light. And they wake up. And they see him. And say, oh my, what is that? I want that. I see him. I see me. I see what I deserve, I need help, and it all comes together because they heard the gospel and you prayed. Jesus looks out over a multitude of people in Matthew 9. He was moved with compassion upon them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he turns to the 12 and he says, here's the 12 back here. You're the mass multitude in need. And he says, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. What are you going to do? Let's recruit more workers. It's not what he said. He said, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest so that they'll be saved. Give a message. What valley of bones are you in? Know that God got you there. And he wants you to speak good things. Might not be a full-blown presentation of the gospel. Might just be a little God-word thing. I told the earlier group, my pastor of my church when I was in university went down to the harbor front in St. John's, Newfoundland. It's a beautiful scenery. Best skies in the world. And he's looking at the sky, looking at the stars. Another man came along and said, what a beautiful night. And my pastor said, what a thing God has done. And they got into conversation. The man was converted eventually. That's not hard to do. He didn't get out his little soapbox and stand up on it and preach a 3-point sermon with a poem and a prayer. He just said, "What has God done?" And it sparked a conversation. We can do that, folks. We can do that. Open my eyes, Lord, to the opportunities you give me. It is easy to look around at our world and say, "Oh, it's gone to hell in a handbasket." In many ways, it has. And we can say, "Let's go home and let's hide and just hope we don't get infected." Or we can say, "God has put me in this valley of bones. And there is hope, for there is truth, and there is gospel. And we're going to give it in any way we can, and we will speak truth to people whenever we have opportunity, and we will pray, 'Oh Lord, I did so little. What can you do with this little bit?'" And he says, "Watch." And you might get to heaven one day thinking you didn't do a thing. And God will say, "Go to this address. Ask them to tell you how they got saved." And your name comes up. And you had no idea. What a stunning thing this is. God picked up Ezekiel, put him in a valley of dry bones. And we are there too. And he said, "Speak." And he says, "Speak." And then he says, "Pray." And so we pray. And they became an exceeding great army. And may they become part of the army, a vast multitude of people that no one can number for the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to this text this week and this morning. We pray, Father, we would look around the world and not be so filled with depression and pessimism and despair, but we would be filled with the knowledge that you are not stumped. You can make stones rise up to praise you. And so we pray that we would see where you have placed us and know that it is our field of mission. And we pray, Father, we would have a good word for the Lord. And we pray, Holy Spirit of Christ, that you would take hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh again. Take those who are dead and make them live. And be pleased to use our feeble efforts in the work. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord's